Father, in the name that is above every name, thank you for the privilege and the honor to teach and share and preach your word. Word of the living God, your bond. And I thank you and praise you. Worship you tonight. And I fully expect every gift, every endowment of the Spirit necessary to stand in the office into which I'm called. I receive that. And as I approach your holy word, I give you, Lord Jesus, the glory, the honor for every word that's said and every deed that is done. For we do it all by faith in that name. And I pray that not one person in this room, nor any person online, or that ever will, and by any means, hear these messages, go untouched by the power of the living God. And because we pray it in the name of Jesus, we believe it'll come to pass and be that way and none other. This is an Eastern book. And so the Western mind has difficulty with it. But there's a few things that you can remember that really help. Number one, it is a book of covenants. Actually, you could call this the first covenant and the second covenant, because actually that's what it is. All of it in blood. There has not been a covenant cut in this book that blood was not shed, beginning in the Garden of Eden. You know that, Ignacio. An animal. I cannot imagine what a fig leaf suit must have looked like. But it was a fig tree that Jesus cursed. That's just a thought. Anyway, and there are things to know and learn about this. That each covenant in this book, Adam's name is read. And that's what makes it hard on Western minds, because most people know so little about a covenant that the only thing they think about is the neighborhood around you won't let you paint your house pink. But that is a covenant. And I'm telling you, there's some of them that are so strong, it'll take an attorney to change it, because it is a covenant. Not just an agreement, it's a covenant. And the Native American background, people knew that. Very serious thing to be in blood covenant with another tribe. Very serious. And even back then, white people did not understand that. African people understand. But the first recorded in the 15th chapter of Genesis, where a deep sleep came on Abram, and he saw it. And he saw God walking in the blood
where they cut those animals down the spine, dropped them, and let the blood flow. And he walked and made promises to Abram, walking in that blood. I believe he saw his tracks in there because it was Jesus. Everything you see from the creation on, let us make man in our image. Anyway, so to understand this book, you have to go to that place that this, the reason it's called God's Word is because it is His bond. I will watch over my Word to perform it. I will do those things that I swore to your father Abraham, no longer Abram. In the 17th chapter of Genesis, let's turn there. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect or blameless. He said, I am El, God, singular, El Shaddai. That's a two-part word. You can say he is the God that's more than enough, referring to a nurse or to a woman's breast. Now, when Kelly was small, and then when John was small, Gloria was their life. They looked to her. She could understand them. I couldn't. I'd say, what did he say? She'd tell me. But she was with that child day and night. And she was life to them. Of course, I was involved. And But that's what God said to him. Now, I want you to notice this now. As for me, behold, as for me, look, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. I have made thee the father of many nations. He changed his name. The first record where a name change was made because of a covenant. The H, Hashem, the name. So God entered covenant with this man and put his name right in the middle of his name. That brought them together as one in the blood of the man through circumcision. That's the reason God would say to Abraham, do this, and Abraham did. Do this, and he did. You could say he was one that's instant in season and in out. Then when it came time to offer up this son, Isaac, supernaturally born, and you find it in the book of Hebrews,
in the Hall of Fame of Faith. When he offered up Isaac, and Hollywood and all them, they don't have a Bible, I would guess, when they make this stuff. No. Look at it in the book of Hebrews. By faith, he took him up on that mountain. By faith, he put him on that altar. And he said, the boy and I will be back. Because he's the father of many nations, and it can't be any other way. There's a blood covenant between the two of them. And he said he received him raised from the dead in a figure. So he had seen it in a vision. Man, he raised that knife. He fully intended to kill him. He fully intended to see God raise him up from the ashes right then and there. And the angel stayed his hand. And there was a ram caught in a thicket. So the ram had the honor. Why? What was the purpose of that? Well, the day is coming. And with God, it's only a couple of days away. When he would be faced with offering his only son as a sacrifice, as a lamb. And Jesus, he knew it. It was coming. Jesus would say, if there is any way, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will be done, but yours. Well, there's no way God could back out, because his covenant partner was willing. So now, God is entering into a covenant for all of mankind. So when you become covenant-minded and you lean on it, I was in a minister's conference that we have every January, and I was sitting right in the front row, and I was next to Jerry, because Jerry preaches on the last day, and this was right at the very beginning of it. I was sitting there next to Jerry, and Gloria was on one side, and I think she was on the other. Anyway, all the symptoms of the flu came on me. I mean, I started chilling and started hurting behind my eyes, you know. I'm just sitting there. If you've been sitting right next to me, you might have heard. I said, you can't put that on me. You know you can't put that on me. I've been healed for 2,000 years, and there's no way you're going to put the flu on me. You understand that? Glory be to God. In about 15 minutes, it's gone. It's over. I tested negative for COVID 5 times.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, that's the primary reason. I refuse to take it.
Amen.
I know what to do when the symptoms come. You can kill it with vitamin C. You didn't need to shut the nation down. But there's no money in vitamin C. You understand?
Yeah, that's right. You got it?
No, wait a minute now. Don't misunderstand me now. I'm not attempting to judge anybody. I'm just telling you what I... And for thank you, God, for my mama for teaching me that. When I was in the Army, I had all the symptoms. Well, I woke up one night and I stumbled out of there, and I went down to the corner and put a call in to Mother. And I was there at Fort Bliss. And I said, Mother, I've just got all the symptoms of the flu. I'm hurting all over. And I said, I can't afford to be sick, because I'm at that point where if I get sick here and I miss a few days, I'm going to have to start this whole 8-week things over again, and I'm not going to do it if they put me in a broom closet somehow. She said, can you get any aspirin? I said, yes, ma'am. Can you get any orange juice? I said, well, yeah, I'm sure I can. She said, take the aspirin and break the fever and just get all of the fresh orange juice you can get your hands on. So I just took a few steps down the infirmary and went in there and told them the symptoms. And they just pitched me a little white box of aspirin in there. So and the next morning for breakfast, I loaded up on orange juice. I mean, I stood there in that chow line and I drank orange juice. And it was gone by that afternoon. My mother was a woman of prayer. I mean, if I just sneezed, oh, here we go. Amen. She would anoint me with Vic Sad. Stick it up my nose. It worked. Rub it all over my chest. We didn't go to the doctor just for every little divvy. Thing. No, we had other things to do. Amen.
Amen.
And she prayed. Now, I wanted you to see that. Notice what he said in verse 4. As for me, look, as for me, I've made a decision to do this, but you have a choice. Abram could have said, well, you know, I mean, man, I'm awfully old here. And he said, well, I'll find me somebody else. No, I want you to notice what happened. I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him. He didn't talk to him. He talked with him, saying,
"That's so good."
He fell on his face. He didn't know yet what he was about to hear, but he fell on his face, and he listened to God, and it changed the history of humankind right then. So realizing just anywhere you want to look, any place, whatever's being said, there's blood behind it. David knew that. Oh, he was a covenant man. When his dad sent him to the battlefront. Teenage boy. With some cheese and stuff for his brothers to check on him. Had to be less than 20 years old because if he'd been 20, he'd been in the army. So he's 17, 18 years old. Sheep herder in the hills of Judea. And so, anyway. And the giant was huge, but it was not what he said that frightened them. It was his size. It was his size. Huge. What, 9.5 feet tall? Can you imagine the size of his head? All that armor. And what was David, what did David say? What do I get if I kill him? He didn't care how big he was. What do I get if I kill him? What was his clue? He told the king, listen now, that uncircumcised Philistine doesn't have a chance with me. He knew his covenant. His older brothers didn't.
He knew his covenant and he depended on it all of his life. And that's the reason he was absolutely just the apple of God's eye. Amen. Because of his covenant consciousness. And he served him as king that way. Fouled up, messed up, but just fall on his face and cry out to God. Amen. And we have many of his songs in the book. And he prophesied Jesus on the cross in the 22nd Psalm. A book of covenants. Now, to understand what's happening in this book, then you must understand that. But this right here, in this fifth chapter of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, the 14th verse, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now people have taken that out of context and say, well, you need to give thanks for that heart attack. I'm not giving thanks for a heart attack. Now I've had people stand before me in a prayer line and say, would you pray for my arthritis? I can't if you own it. And people say, Copeland, you're just too picky. Oh, yeah. Very picky. Because words count. Jesus bore our sicknesses and carried our pains in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Then Isaiah 53, he bore our sicknesses and carried our pains. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with those stripes we're healed.
Thank you.
That is not my sickness. That's one of the very first things that Gloria and I learned. And then Matthew chapter 8, verse 14. And Jesus came into Peter's house. And when evening was come, they brought many who were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word. When he entered in, he saw Peter's mother-in-law sick of a fever. He touched her hand, the fever left her. When evening was come, they brought many who were possessed with devils. He cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, fulfilling that which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. So don't own it. I mean, never. No, I have a healing covenant with him. I do not own sickness or disease. I refuse to do that.
You have a free resource to help you study and apply the Bible-based truths you just heard. Download the BVOV Broadcast Study Notes today at kcm.org/tvnotes. Collect the notes from each week and use them in a group Bible study. Use the message outline to teach from. Discuss the scriptures and key points with your family of believers. Gain understanding from all the teachings on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Get the whole week of notes today at kcm.org/tvnotes.
How could I ever have God's faith? Why did this not happen? Why did that happen? How do you use faith to move a mountain?
Join Kenneth Copeland as he sets the foundation for what faith is, how to move a mountain. 15 messages available on MP3 disc, DVD, or for download. get the truth about faith. Learn what it is and what it's not. Over 50 years of faith teaching collected in one place, simplified and accessible. Identify your faith. Develop it. Find out how it works and put it to work in your life, the way God set it up to operate. Whether you feel like you're well-versed in faith and how it works, or you've just been introduced to the concept, this Back to the Basics teaching will refocus your understanding and set you on the right track to moving the mountains in your life. You have enough faith to do whatever God has called you to do. Request your free copy of Kenneth Copeland's series entitled Faith Is, How to Move a Mountain on kcm.org/victory offer or when you call 877-615-4267. Stand up and step into everything God has called you to do when you discover the power of living by faith. Offer good for 60 days. If you're outside the United States, shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
Hello, I'm Brother Larry. This week, Kenneth Copeland is teaching us how faith connects you to the blessing of the Lord. And in that blessing is eternal life, healing, and prosperity. It's all in your covenant with God. To help you learn more about what faith does and how it works, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland want to give you this teaching series for free, and it's called Faith Is, How to Move a Mountain. Now, it doesn't matter what that mountain is or what it represents, faith can move it out of your way because faith is the spiritual, creative force of God that's on the inside of every born-again believer's spirit. It's God's faith, and you have enough faith to do whatever He's called you to do. It's time to get excited about faith in God again. So get this series and discover the power of the living God in you. You can request your free copy on MP3 disc or download it today on our website, kcm.org. Another great way to build your faith is to come to a KCM event. Join Brother Copeland October 27th through the 29th for the Omaha Victory Campaign in Omaha, Nebraska. Come and be totally immersed in God's Word for 3 power-packed days. The Omaha Victory Campaign is a free event, so register today at kcm.org/events. We'll see you again tomorrow. This is Brother Larry reminding you that God loves you, we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland want to thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. To learn more about Kenneth Copeland Ministries and how we can help you grow in faith, check out our website for free content and resources available to you on kcm.org.